lucharán de 2 a 3 caídas sin límite de tiempo.
I'm your host, as always, Tony Galvin, and I'm joined here by AAA's Conan. Conan, how are you doing today?
Yo, what it is.
How are you feeling right now?
Physically not too good. I got hurt in Cuernavaca. Ricky Banderas gave me a hip toss, and I landed wrong. I don't know if you know, but I had a hip transplant, mm-hmm. And so when I landed, it felt like the prosthetic had like come out of the joint. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I could think of while I was laying there unable to move was, fuck, man. The same thing that happened to Charlie Manson, because Charlie Manson had a similar injury. He was out 10 months, yeah. And he still can't walk too good. But it's just kind of damaged, but nothing big.
Okay, that's good. So with your hip, is that going to affect the big match with Vampiro?
Well, with my hip like that or my hip not like that, there's not really much that I can do because I'm just so hurt from so many years, you know, being in the hard Mexican rings and just, you know, the wear and tear that your body takes, you know, being in wrestling. So, you know, I haven't physically been in a real good shape for about, you know, I would say 4 or 5 years. If you ever saw me in TNA, you saw how ridiculously bad I was limping before I got my operation. But, you know, basically we're going to have to use smoke and mirrors. Soon you're going to see a tape. I'm actually putting together a tape of, like, my career highlights, and you'll see a lot of cool shit I did when I was young that you probably never saw before. And, you know, I used to do a lot of cool shit. Just once your body breaks down, you know, you got to kind of take care of yourself.
Yeah, so how do you feel about your own wrestling right now?
Excuse me?
How do you feel about your own wrestling right now, your ability right now in the ring?
No, well, there is no ability. I can't wrestle. I mean, basically, it's just me getting on the mic, you know, ripping the fans a new asshole, just getting them so mad that instead of them thinking, wow, this guy can't do shit anymore, they're thinking, how can I break his neck? So basically, it's like a diversion. But, you know, I think that, you know, I've earned my place in Mexican wrestling. I mean, I started in El Toreo, and I'd only been wrestling like 11, you know, I'd only been training like 11 months, and I started in the main event. You know, like my first match was like me, Tejano, you know, Dos Caras, Perro Aguayo, you know, against like Connect, Fishman. I mean, those are like heavy dudes to start out your career with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I went to Reno, Mexico. You know, I the people are a lot more forgiving than they are in the United States, mm-hmm. you know, about their legends being in the ring. I mean, just look at Mil Máscaras. He's like 65, 63 years old, and he's still out there. And, you know, you got your one or two hecklers that, you know, call him Chicharrón, which basically fans, you know, you'll have a couple hecklers, but I think in the majority of the fans, when they see all the wrestlers like Mil Máscaras or Tinieblas, who they really can't do anything, you know, they're more respectful. They're more like, fuck, man, this nigga's up there, you know, doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, fuck, I'm 60 years old and I'm at home, you know, playing fucking Parcheesi or whatever, you know, you're doing at that age. And Mil Máscaras is still out there putting on his shit and going out there and doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
So you feel, for the most part, your wrestling days are pretty much all but done.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm just too hurt. You know, I'm just really broken. You know, think about it. I had a hip replacement. I mean, how many people have come back full-time from a hip replacement? I don't think anybody has. You know, Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan, they had hip replacements, and, you know, they would only wrestle basically part-time. And I don't know anybody that's come back from a kidney replacement. I'm not trying to put myself over. I'm just saying it is what it is. You know, I'm just broken down. I'm hurt. And that's what happens when you've been in the business 20 years, you know, plus. And so, you know, my whole thing right now is obviously you're not going to see what, you know, Jack Evans or Teddy Hart doing. You never were going to, because I was never a high flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just very limited. So I go out there. I tell a story. I get the people pissed off. I get them to pay to want to see them kick my, have the baby face kick my ass. And as long as people are going to pay to have me get, you know, get my ass kicked, I'll let other guys wrestle. You know, there's a lot of other guys that can wrestle. I'm basically out there trying to tell a story.
Okay, okay, that's good. So basically, you don't see yourself so much as a wrestler anymore. It's just a on-screen personality.
Exactly.
Okay, okay, that's cool. Without going into specific details, how's AAA doing business compared to CMLL?
Well, you know, there was a while there where CMLL, when I wasn't in Mexico, they kind of caught up to AAA in popularity, you know, with Místico, you know, just being a phenomenon, and then Los Perros del Mal, and then Dr. Wagner, you know, they all got hot at the same time, and CMLL was really the hotter promotion. Mm-hmm. And so for a while there, you know, I think they were more popular than us. When I got back, you know, I sat down with Peña, and, you know, we started to talk about starting to make some changes, which he knew were needed. I think when I came back to AAA, I really believe Peña was burnt out creatively, you know, and that happens to all great bookers. I mean, you just can't be, you know, 12, 13 years straight thinking up of good ideas without any writers. I mean, he has no writers, which is incredible to me. And so, you know, he would actually wait sometimes to like a couple hours before the show started to think up of angles and stuff. I mean, you know, that's like, you know, going to the set of, you know, any comedy today or any drama and say, well, this is what we're going to do today, you know, 1 hour before you shoot. So anyways, we sat down and we kind of talked about how we were going to modernize the product. And unfortunately, you know, he passed away. But anyways, to make a long story short, I think what has happened to Arena Mexico, this is just my theory, because if you look at the ratings, and I know you don't have any access to them, maybe you do, but the bottom line is, well, you look at the ratings, we're beating them double, we're beating them by double, sometimes 2.5 points. I mean, double the people are watching us, so yeah, their wrestling is better. Yeah, their wrestling is a lot more technical, and they don't have as much crazy shit going on as we do, but I think what the viewers are telling us, and at the end they're the ones that count, is they want to see variety. You know, they want to see the Exóticos, they want to see the Minis, they want to see the Legends, they want to see the variety that we give them. Or if you look at CMLL, even though their matches are great, is like what they say in Mexico, pan con lo mismo, bread with the same thing every single day.
Yeah,
they don't really see a lot of variety, and I think it might get a little bit boring. And you know, if you notice our show, your name's Tony, right?
Yeah,
Tony. So if you look at our show, you'll see that, you know, since, you know, Peña passed away, we've been doing episodic TV, you know, with, you know, leaving cliffhangers and storylines, and you got to watch the next week to see what happened the week before, and it's a little bit more entertaining now, you know, instead of just wrestling match after wrestling match. And, you know, so I just think that, well, I know right now we're doing better than them, attendance-wise and ratings-wise. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and as far as we're talking about promotions, and you brought up the Perros del Mal, what's your impression, or where do you see the Perros del Mal promotion going?
Well, Perros del Mal, I think, is going to have a lot of problems because they're going to succumb to being the victim of having no TV. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are. If you don't have no TV, you're in trouble, because the longer you're off TV, obviously, you know, the more that your market value starts to wane, because TV's kind of king, you know. And so I just think without TV, it's going to be very hard for them. Plus, like, I'll give you an example. Headhunter called me the other day, and you know, he works some shows for them.
Yeah.
He told me they had 2 shows canceled because of poor advances, and they still owe him money. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is you have the main event, which costs a lot of money, the semifinal, which is usually pretty good, and then after that, it's like they just get all these cheap guys nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, people kind of want to see a full show from top to bottom. And, you know, I just don't think Perros del Mal, if they don't get any help from Arena Mexico or do something with Arena Mexico with us, some sort of a feud, I don't give them more than 6 months.
Yikes.
But you know, you know, I'm real good friends with Damian,
mm-hmm.
and let me just throw this little tidbit out there. You know, you never know if we may do something with them in the near future.
That'd be cool.
Would be awesome.
Yeah.
And that, you know, at the end of the day, we just want to give what the fans want, and I think that's something they'd like to see. So don't be surprised if that happens.
So you think you see C. Renetico and Perro Jr. coming into AAA?
Don't be surprised if you see it happen.
Would you be feuding with Perro Jr. because he had the long legacy with Perro Sr.?
Would I team up with him? Was that the question?
No, would you would you guys butt heads?
Definitely. Because, you know, you want to take advantage of, in Mexico, you know, obviously you're a Lucha fan. I don't need to tell you how big Conan versus Perro was in the 90s. I mean, that might have been the biggest or one of the biggest feuds of the decade. So I think it would be a normal and a natural progression, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, you pretty much... Well, let's go with that. Do you think pretty much Perros has burned his bridges with CML and there's no chance of him ever going back, or?
I wouldn't say there's not a chance of him going back, because remember that in wrestling, there's double and triple standards. And the same standards that they give the Perro Warriors is not the same standards they would give to somebody like Sombra. So at the end of the day, if you're a business, whether it's Dr. Wagner, Cibernético, whoever it is, you know, promoters are willing to give you second, third, and fourth chances because, let's face it, not everybody draws. You know, not everybody's a superstar, and those guys are always going to be given the benefit of the doubt. I do think Paco is super pissed off at him because he promised him that he wasn't going to run any shows in the same city the same day, and his first show, he ran it, you know, on a Friday, which is Arena Mexico Day. So Paco's being, you know, he's very vindictive. So he's been trying to block his shows all over, you know, all over the country. And but I wouldn't say that there's no chance of them ever coming back because they're hurting right now. And to me, one of the main reasons is Místico doesn't have Perro to fight with. And people, that's like a feud everybody likes because they're both young. They can both go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course not having Wagner there, he was a big star there. So, you know, they lost pretty big names.
Okay, you know, I've been seeing some TV reports and seeing that Wagner's been on a couple of AAA house shows. Do you think maybe he's just doing it just to negotiate with CML, or do you think eventually he's going to want to go to AAA?
Well, I think he's using it as leverage like he's done before. We negotiated with Dr. Wagner about 4 times last year, and every single time, just as we were about to sign him up, he pulled out. He did the same thing to me when I was bringing wrestlers to WCW. You know, he was very difficult to negotiate with, and at the very last minute, he decided not to go. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, what was the question?
Oh, I'll just move on to my next question. As long as we're talking about people leaving from companies and the Pearls of the Mall promotion, what's your reaction to, like you mentioned earlier, Headhunter and Cibernético and a bunch of others leaving the AAA promotion? And what do you think of their comments that they've said in various Lucha magazines?
Well, be specific on what comments you're talking about.
Well, just basically, more specifically, the fact that there's generally a feeling in the company that there's a glass ceiling and there tends to be the same couple of guys in the main event and there seems to be no room for elevation.
Well, you tell me what promotion in the world doesn't use the same main eventers. I mean, if it ain't broke, you know, the bottom line is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, you know, they have, just like TNA, just like WWE, just like anybody else, you know, they have the people that they feel are drawing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, our business is good, bro, you know. I mean, Cibernético, his problem was with me, you know. He just was, I would say, a hater, just being a little bitch, what he is. And, you know, so he just... I think the place wasn't big enough for both of us. He had his ideas and his way of doing things, which a lot of them, to me, were quite stupid, like him. And, you know, at the end of the day, he threw too many temper tantrums, made too many demands, and, you know, they just basically told him, you know, if you're not going to see ways that, you're not going to see things the way the promotion needs them to be done. You know, you can dip right now. And he did, you know. And but as far as anything else, I think they do give a lot of opportunities to guys. You know, they tried to make Superfly. Unfortunately, they did it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, and wait 1 second.
Okay.
And, you know, they're giving other people opportunities. And so I would disagree with that there's no upward movement, because if you notice, not too long ago, Leader and Nitro were in the main event, and we put Silver King in the main event, and, you know, now we're going to do this show in Ciudad Madero where all the cruisers are in the main event.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You know, it's like anything else, you know, you just can't sit around and wait for the promotion to give you stuff. You got to go out there and stand out, which is what I did when I got to Mexico. You know, I don't know how much you know of my early career or not, but, you know, I went out there and, you know, I was very charismatic and I was doing different stuff. You know, I was doing a lot of stuff from Japan because I was, you know, the first generation tape collector with Eddie Guerrero and Love Machine. And, you know, I was doing stuff that nobody else was doing. And I stood out, you know. So, I mean, they're going to give a lot of guy chances. One of the reasons is, you know, the head of creative is only 24 years old. Mm-hmm. So here's a guy that isn't stuck in his ways like, you know, older bookers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. With that said, are there any specific guys, native wrestlers, do you think in Mexico that...
Okay, basically, the question you're asking me is there any wrestlers that I think are being underutilized?
Yeah.
In our promotion?
Yeah.
Here's the problem, bro. There's a lot of guys that maybe deserve a chance, but you got to remember, when you're watching the matches, a lot of these guys don't really know how to sell. They have zero psychology. They have no timing. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to work the people. And those are little intricacies that you have to learn if you want to be in the main event. Mm-hmm. Because the main event is a little bit more about storytelling and less about flash.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of the junior heavyweights that, yeah, they put on a great show. You know, I'm the biggest fan of junior heavyweights. You got to remember, I'm the guy that, you know, brought in Rey Mysterio, Nitro, and, you know, all those guys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of the junior heavyweights. The problem is, when I left AAA and I went to the United States, I'd been in the business 10 years, and I thought I knew it all. But I had to go to the United States and get deprogrammed because they work a different style than Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
And so Lucha Libre is very, very little psychology, a lot of bumping around, not selling, and it doesn't look logical to the naked eye. That's why when they first came to WCW, you should have seen how pissed off, you know, all the Americans were, because they were like, bro, do you guys ever sell anything? You know, and it was like, no, we just get up and we keep going. And, you know, we were more like high spot based. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we've got a lot of guys that I wish would go to United States or Puerto Rico and learn, you know, how to work. It's pretty hard to go in there. Like, you should see when I go in there with somebody, like, for example, I'll just give you a name, Super Crazy, right? You know, he's trying to stick 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. You know, he's so busy trying to get his shit in and, you know, trying to get a pop out of the people, you know, that he doesn't care if it looks choreographed, they did a high spot last week where Joe Leader and Nitro, somehow Joe Leader ended up grabbing Nitro, like if he was going to hit him with the Styles Clash, so you know the position, right? When AJ is standing up right before so they're in the corner, and somehow Nitro ended up on Leader's neck, and Leader's holding him with what seems like forever while Ultimate Gladiador and Crazy Boy are busy hitting the ropes, trying to do like a double kick on both of them. It looks so fake, so choreographed. It just didn't look real, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And those are the type of things that they need to work on. You know, there's a lot of good talent underneath, you know, Aerostar and Laredo Kid and, you know, La Fuerza Aérea and Billy Boy and, you know, there's some good talent out there, and, you know, they'll all be given their chance like everybody else.
Okay, that's fine. And as far as being on top, you think is they'll experiment with it with got new guys on top, but at the end of the day, it's whoever makes money.
What was the last thing you said?
Well, I'm saying it really comes down to whoever makes money. If you start putting new guys up on top and then you don't make any money, you're not going to keep them on top.
Right. So, you know, let me put you in our shoes. You're the promoter. Let's say you like, you know, this. Let's say you like Los Exóticos and you think they're the bomb and they should be in the main event. We'll put them in the main event and see what happens.
Yeah.
And so now you're putting your money at risk. So it isn't so much what you personally like, but you got to listen. Bro, it's very easy. All you got to do is listen to the people. I hate when bookers try to push people down, you know, the fans' throats, and, you know, the fans don't accept them. I go, bro, the fans are telling you they don't like them. Turn them heel. Boom, easy. But, you know, the bottom line is it's still a business. They're trying to make money, and... you know, you just can't take everybody out of the main event because it's taken them years to get to where they are and years for people to make an emotional investment with them and pay a ticket to go see them. You got to make people little by little, which is, you know, what we're starting to do.
Okay. All right. That's cool. I can understand. So do you feel then maybe there's room in the mid-card to elevate a lot of people?
Oh, definitely. You know, and there's room to put people in the main event. You know, just, I mean, like I said before, you know, they, and this is their fault, you know, when they tried to make Superfly, to me, they went about it all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And now nobody believes in Superfly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the mistake.
The fluke wins over Electroshock, so it didn't really come off as a big deal.
Yeah, well, and not only that, bro, you can't have a guy that was in the second match last year. And now he's in the main event against Electroshock, who, you know, he's a pretty well-known name in Mexico. He's a big name,
yeah.
And he's taller and heavier. And you go in there, and the third time they meet, they have a mano a mano.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy fucking slips on a banana peel and beats Electroshock. Who the fuck believed that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So then when the people didn't buy it, I wonder why not, then they have him destroy Superfly. And now you kill the guy again. So, you know, that's just, to me, bad booking.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, like I said, I think you can experiment in the main event. You just can't reorganize the whole main event. What you do is you put one guy in the main event. You make him strong. You make the people believe in him. You give him the rub, and then you make him. And then after a while, you bring in another guy in the main event, and you make him. And, you know, the same thing that... WWE would do. They wouldn't all of a sudden say, hey, Hunter, Sean, you know, Undertaker, fuck you guys, you're old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want some young cats that can fucking go out there because the people aren't going to believe in them. Look at Cody Rhodes and DiBiase. You know, they still don't really believe in them, just like they didn't believe in Randy Orton. But Hunter was very smart, how he did Evolution, how he gave them the rub, how him and Ric Flair, you know, gave them the rub and made them. And then when they were ready... You know, they said, all right, you're ready to go on your own. They both became champions, and that's what they got to learn how to do here. You know, Dorian is 24 years old, and he's been doing this for like 2.5 years. You know, he's still learning. You know, he makes his mistakes like anybody else, you know. And sometimes I got to step back and let him make his own mistakes and find out, you know, the hard way. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I think at the end of the day, you know, we've got a really strong babyface side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie Manson super over, Vampiro super over, Latin Lover super over, you know, Messias is super over. So we've got a really top-heavy babyface side. And soon, and I can't tell you the name, but soon we're going to get another really big babyface.
Okay. We'll just leave it at that, I guess. All right, so as long as we're talking about why some people are just, you know, sort of pulling them back and they're just not doing what's right for the main event, what do you think specifically a guy like Billy Boy is doing wrong?
Of who?
Billy Boy. What do you think's keeping him out of the main event?
Well, first of all, he's not main event material yet, but I just think that, you know, Billy Boy's a guy that's going to have to work his way up to the mid-card and then, you know, to the semifinals and the main event, but he's nowhere near the main event. I don't even know why you would say that. But anyway, I don't know, bro. I don't book the company.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I'm just asking your opinion.
I think that, you know, I couldn't even really tell you. I think he's very talented. You know, I agree with you on that one.
Okay, okay. And I'm not arguing saying that nobody gets pushed in the main event. I mean, as of late, you guys have had like Silver King and Abismo Negro in the main event. So, I mean, I'm not arguing that that it's getting better. It's just, you know, just a couple a year or so ago, it didn't seem like things were changing much.
A year ago, it looked like things weren't changing much?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me just tell you, without getting into details, a big piece of that was Cibernético's fault. So, you know, he's not here. I hope he doesn't come back. But if he does come back, you know, he's just going to have to learn to be more professional.
Yeah. You think if he comes back, he's going to come back with his tail between his legs?
I don't know. Pride's a very big thing. You got to know when to use it, you know, when to swallow it, when to put it away. I mean, he's got a pretty big ego right now. Mm. That's one of the reasons he left. But if he comes back, you know, the dressing room's different and the hierarchy of power has changed. So he'll definitely have to come back and do business and not play all the little, you know, little fucking spoiled brat games he played while he was there. But, you know, it's like anything else. Like I said, you know, Dorian's a very, very smart kid. Very smart kid. He learns very quick. You know, and he's trying to do a lot of different things at the same time. And, you know, maybe one of the things that he was lacking in was mixing up the main event, because every now and then you do need to do it. But like I said, if you look at Joe Leader and Nicho and, you know, X-Pac you know, Silver King and Black Abyss, we try to change it up a little bit. Like I said, you just can't go in there, you know, if you're a football fan and change your starting quarterback, your starting running back, you just can't go in there and do that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, little by little, we'll put people in the main event, and the people react to, you know, we'll keep them around and we'll start pushing them. You've got to listen to the people too.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about less about the domestic talent. What exactly criteria do you and AAA look at when you guys are looking into bringing a foreigner?
I just look around for somebody that's talented, and I know it's not going to be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we bring them in. And that's basically how I look at foreigners, you know, whether it's Teddy or Jack, you know, Ron Killings, you know, basically that they're very talented and they're not a pain in the ass. That's basically my criteria for the people I recommend. Mm-hmm.
What has overall been the feeling with you guys bringing in all these foreigners? I mean, I've heard some incidents of some guys, you know, ruffling up feathers up with the like Teddy and stuff, but what's the overall impression of the foreigners coming in?
Okay, what did you say about Teddy?
I'm just saying there's just been incidents where the local guys don't take too well to the foreign guys being brought in.
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, that was another thing, like I said, that Cibernético started, which pisses me off, because, you know, when I was in AAA back in like 96 or something like that, I met Cibernético at this thing called the Boxy Lucha Premiaciones, which is a magazine that, you know, gives out awards every year. And so, you know, he comes up to me and, you know, he's very humble and very nice. Hey, Mr. Conan, you know, my name is Cibernético. I had no idea who he was. He goes, I wrestled in Toledo, and, you know, I basically started wrestling because of you, because, you know, I'm in the bodybuilding and you're in the bodybuilding, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know, I'm having problems with connecting in Toledo. And I was like, wow, that's funny, because I had, you know, the same problems you're talking about. Mm. And so he says, you know, I really want to leave there, and, you know, I know that you help a lot of young guys, blah, blah, blah. And so even though I'd never seen him wrestle, I had no idea how good or bad he was. You know, I kind of... Okay, hello?
Yeah.
Even though I had no idea if he was any good, you know, I just wanted to give the guy a chance, and he looked good. And he had a good look about him. So I brought him in, and, you know, he was brutal. And, you know, and everybody's like, why do you got this guy in the main event? And I was like, let's just help him out. You know, we need to make stars. So I took care of him. And so, you know, when I come back when I come back to AAA after being away 7 years, you know, this guy tries to get me fired. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he went with Pena, and, you know, he was like, you know, it's either me or Conan. And so now Pena had to fucking try to juggle, you know, this big problem that he had. Mm-hmm. And basically, wait 1 second, because I'm actually driving here. You know, basically, here's a guy that I helped out, you know. And, you know, now, you know, he's getting everybody pissed off and saying, why are there so many foreigners here? You know, we don't need foreigners. What's wrong with the Mexican talent, you know, that we have? And, you know, it's like, bro, it isn't so much that they're foreigners. We're just trying to find talented guys that aren't, you know, all fucking dancing in the middle of the ring like a homo and fucking, you know, doing all this other bullshit that makes me embarrassed to even watch the show. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you bring in a Ron Killings or, you know, a Sabu or, you know, the guys that I brought in, you know, I go, we're just trying to make this better. You know, let's get some wrestling in this variety show. Mm. And, you know, he wasn't down with that. And I think the rest of the dressing who was wild up for a while, they've all calmed down because, you know, the concept Foreign Legion versus AAA sells very well.
Yeah. Really.
You know, I mean, yeah. And so, you know, people are kind of getting over their jealousy bit. And at the end of the day, because, you know, they always argue that, oh, they're coming to take our job. The only person that can make you lose your job is yourself. You know, if your shit ain't good, somebody better is going to fucking take your place. That's just how it is. And that's in any promotion.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're a foreigner or domestic. If you're really dropping the ball, someone's going to take your job.
Exactly.
Okay, that's cool. Let's see. You like you said before, you've been kind of a critic of the in-ring product, but you think there's a problem if the fans don't seem to mind the in-ring product? I mean, is that a problem with you? And basically.
Okay, repeat that one more time. About what did you say about the product?
It's okay. You just said that you guys don't have the best in-ring workers. And you want to bring in, you brought in some foreign talent before. So you think you want to improve the in-ring product, or you think you more or less want to keep it the way it is right now?
No, you always want to make the product better. I mean, let me tell you, from when Dorian started, because Dorian's all about modernizing the product, you know, taking it global. A lot of the stuff that weren't Pena's strong suits. You know, he's a college educated kid, and you know, he speaks English and he's always on the computer. You know, Pena didn't speak English, was never on the computer. He was kind of old school, you know, and, you know, Dorian's more up to date. You know, he's going to all these conventions and trying to learn about cameras and lighting. And, you know, he's really trying to make a lot of changes. And, you know, Hector Melendez, who I don't even know if you know who that is. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that, you know, used to book in Puerto Rico, and then they brought him to TNA and he would do all the video packages. I mean, I think AAA has super cool video packages.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a lot of that is from the genius that is Hector, you know, Moody Melendez, or as I call him, Cartman. And so, you know, he's also really good at booking, and him and Dorian will sit down sometimes and come out with some really cool shit. Mm. But then sometimes, you know, Dorian has his mindset on something, and even if it's wrong, that's the way it's going to be done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think in Moody's mind, you know, Moody's only 31, Dorian's 24. You look at the bookers in Arena Mexico, you know, Panico, Jose Feliciano, you know, all those guys, they're like fucking 50 plus. I mean, what could they even know about pop culture, you know, where, you know, Dorian's in clubs, you know, every weekend, you know, fucking, you know, just being a college kid. And, you know, Moody's a guy that watches, like, every TV show that there is, 24, House, Lost, you know, Battlestar Galactica, you know, he's always watching TV, and they both kind of have their pulse on pop culture, you know, so I think, you know, they're both, since they're young, they're both into modernizing the product, so you're going to see a lot of changes in every aspect as far as talent, as far as new concepts, as far as globalization, every aspect that you can imagine, production, everything.
Okay, so that's how you guys see yourself being competitive with you guys being on back-to-back with WWE.
Say that again?
That's how you guys see yourself being competitive with WWE, with you guys doing so much more research. I mean, that's the problem with the WWE. You get the same couple of guys doing creative, but you get the feeling most of the creative guys just live in a bubble.
Well, you know, of course they live in a bubble because, you know, Vince McMahon has them working for him like, you know, 16 hours a day. You know, the rest of the time they're probably taking a shower, eating, and going to sleep. So your whole life becomes wrestling. If you're a booker, if you're an owner, and in most cases wrestler, it's just a bubble. You don't even live in the real world. You know, you're just getting tans, working out, you know, taking your protein drinks, traveling to the next town, training, you know, sleeping. Obviously, when you get a chance, you party. Mm-hmm. But everything just revolves around wrestling, and sometimes you lose that perspective. I've done a very good job of, you know, keep when I leave wrestling, just be completely distracted from wrestling and try not to really talk about it. I don't like to talk about it with fans. I don't like to talk about it on a plane.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be a normal dude, listening to music, watching movies, soaking in life, learning from life, and see how I can apply that to wrestling, you know, whether it's an angle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
I said without even knowing it, with you just relaxing, just being yourself, you're doing research for wrestling without even knowing it.
Yeah, right. Yes, lucha's always kind of in the back of my mind subconsciously, but it isn't like before where, you know, it just consumed me 24 hours. That's all I did, breathe, thought, you know. And but, you know, like I said before, I want to have a normal life. I don't like living in that wrestling bubble. You just kind of lose perspective about everything.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you lose touch with the fans, and then the, you know, the promotion is just not as successful.
Exactly.
Okay. I think that's about it. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we end the interview today? I really appreciate you coming on here and letting me ask you all these great questions.
No, basically, you know, somebody had showed me your website once before, and so I looked at it and I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Wow, finally a lucha site, but in English, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you don't know how many people email me, and they're like, oh, well, how, you know, we like Triple A, but we don't understand what Arturo Rivera is saying, and, you know, when I'm a smartass, and I'll always write back, we'll learn Spanish. But, you know, it is a good point, and that's actually something that we're looking at right now about having an English, you know, voiceover. But for the American market, because we're going to start getting into low wattage American markets. But you know, basically, you know, anyways, I saw this page and I thought it was cool because it was in English.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you wrote me, and I looked at the link, and it was the same page that I had looked at, you know, a couple weeks before. So I just thought to myself, fuck it, you know, let me give them an interview, because obviously these are lucha fans, but that speak English. And, you know, I still have a lot of people that remember my LAX days and TNA, and, you know, they're always, you know, calling me and telling me, what are you doing now? Where are you wrestling? You know, where can we watch you? And, you know, maybe they look at your page or whatever. So I just kind of did it for the American Lucha fans, which is probably who's reading, you know, your blog, right,
yeah,
or your page or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, if anyone ever bothers you, wants to know what's going on, or they want to actually see the stuff, because we're just starting to upload all the shows now. So if you want to read what's going on, or you want to watch what's going on, just head on to our Lucha blog at luchablog.com.
Well, you know, there's just a lot of big, my whole thing is, you know, whether, you know, I did that angle where, you know, where I punched, you know, Rodan, when I pushed Rodan into the corner and he busted up his face, or, you know, when I stole the ashes, or when we did the thing for control of the company, or, you know, when Zorro whipped X-Pac's back and just, you know, blistered him up, and, or, you know, some of the crazy stuff that Ted and Jack do. You know, my whole thing is just try to do things that are, you know, spectacular, that are going to get into the mainstream news, because it's almost like what Vince does. You know, he'll use Donald Trump, or, you know, he'll use Roger Mayweather to get that mainstream acceptance, because we have a built-in audience of millions and millions of people that aren't going anywhere, that a lot of them grew up on AAA. That's what they like to watch. And
yeah.
that's how they're entertained, and when we go to their city, they're going to go there. So we've got that fan base, you know. It's almost like TNA. A lot of times I'll watch their product, and I think to myself, how is it possible that their ratings are actually going up? And the only thing I can think of is either there's a lot more morons out there than I originally thought, or, you know, the economy has a lot of people, you know, staying at home and watching more TV, because sometimes this shit is just pathetic. And excuse me?
That has to be it.
Yeah, and so, you know, so my point is we already have our fans. Mm-hmm. And basically now we've got to find ways to get new fans. So the way to me to do that is do angles that will get into the mainstream, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And get people, you know, watching the show, maybe a gossip show, and go, oh, my God, did you see what this guy did? Let's turn on Sunday to see what else happened. So, you know, you just got to think of the big picture, basically. You know, we're trying to get as many eyes on our product as possible. You know, obviously, we're not going to make everybody happy. Yeah. You know, there's a, you know, we're like anybody else. You know, we're hit and miss. Some things that are going to do well, others won't. There's a lot of things that drive me personally crazy. But, you know, I have to pick and choose my battles. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I know exactly everything that's going on there. And this product, if you look at it, from 3 years ago and today, it's gotten a lot better, and it's going to keep getting better because, like I said before, you know, you've got guys like Dorian and Hector that, you know, they're always looking at different ways of making the product fresher, modernizing it. You've got guys behind the scene, veterans like myself, you know, Vampiro, X-Pac, who are always giving ideas. And, you know, we're all in the same ship. We all want to make money and have fun. I mean, to me, being in WCW and TNA was hell because the politics was incredible, the, you know, the backstabbing, the glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when I was in WCW, I don't know, did you used to watch WCW in 97, 96, 98?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, guys like Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, you know, Rey Mysterio, myself, you know, we were all being held back. Mm-hmm. You know, in AAA, I can guarantee you nobody's held back. If you got talent, we're going to push you. You know, we want to make as many stars as we can. You know, it's conducive to business. There's no reason to hold people back because they didn't shake your hand in the locker room, or, you know, they're going out with one of the divas, or, you know, they change their ticket from coach to first class, or any of the little bullshit games they play in the other promotions. And it's just so stressful, you know, working in the United States. It really is. And, you know, I'm just glad I'm in Mexico because it's a lot more laid back. Yeah, there's a lot of craziness that sometimes I shake my head and go, what did I just see? But at the end of the day, you can't put a price tag on peace of mind.
All right, cool. All right, Conan, thanks again for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. And everybody, we'll be having more shows with more guests from now on. So feel free to keep coming to the Lucha Blog. And thanks again, Conan.
All right, well, good luck with your show and your page, and you know, if you want to email me in the future and we can do another interview.
All right, that's cool.
All right,
thanks everybody for tuning
you're
in.
You're
what's up?
You're in West Covina, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to our LA show?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, sweet. All right, well, come by and holler at me.
Okay, yeah, no problem. All right, go ahead. All right, again. And I'll see you there.
All right, no problem.
All right,
peace.
Thank you.